You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In my interview with Christopher Luxon just before, we discussed the three strikes policy the Labour government is repealing, but I wanted to know a little bit more about it. I reached out to Andrew Geddes, a professor from the University of Otago's Law School, who has spoken a lot about the policy. We discussed what the policy actually involves, whether or not it has worked, and what other changes he would like to see in Aotearoa's legal system. He started by explaining what Labour is actually changing.
Labour is effectively taking the three strikes sentencing regime out of the law. So the three strikes regime will no longer exist. Just to recap, what the three strikes sentencing regime said was, if you committed a certain kind of offence, a so-called strike offence, which was particularly violent or sexual offences, your first such strike offence meant you just got your ordinary sentence, a sentence you would usually have got, and a warning about what would happen if you carried on such offending. A second strike would then mean that you would get whatever sentence you would normally get, but you would have to serve that sentence without parole. So if you got sentenced to 3 years in jail, you'd have to serve the entire 3 years without being let out on parole. And then on your third strike, if you carried on and committed a third such offence, you had to be given the maximum sentence under the law. So if you kidnapped someone, you had to be sent to jail for 14 years. And if you murdered someone, in theory, you had to be sent to jail for the rest of your life with no chance of being released on parole. And so Labour is going to take that forced mandated sentencing process out of the law, and judges instead will sentence people for such offences based on ordinary sentencing principles the way they did before the law was changed.
What was the justification to bring the law in the first place? For me, from what I can tell, the biggest sort of difference is the amount of discretion judges get. Was there a desire to sort of make it more consistent case to case or something like that?
No, so the reasoning for the law was that judges, in essence, weren't sending people to prison for long enough. So the people who brought this in, the National and ACT Party, thought that certain kind of offenders weren't being sent to jail for long enough. So there was an attempt to take away discretion from judges so that they had to send people to jail for certain amounts of time. And the reasoning for that was if you had people who were continuing to commit these sorts of offences, sort of violent sexual offences and so on, sending them to jail, forcing them into jail for very long periods of time would get them off the streets, would therefore make it safer for everyone else, and it was also thought that that would deter offending. So if people had committed one or two of these offences, they wouldn't do another one because they'd know that there was this really bad punishment coming up. So that was the theory behind it. Now, whether it actually had that effect is very debatable. It's just not clear that it actually did reduce violent offending in the way that was promised. And the idea that sending someone into jail for very long periods of time makes the world a safer place is problematic because it made jails much, much more dangerous places. And so you had these violent offenders in jail for long periods of time committing violent offences against other prisoners. Now, of course, the people who set the law up didn't really care about that because they thought those weren't really real people. Didn't matter if they got hurt, but it did have that impact. And then finally, because it took away discretion from judges, it led to some really, really just outrageous outcomes. Most recently, there was a man who was convicted of three relatively low-level indecent assaults, the last one of which was kissing a woman on the cheek on the street, and he was sentenced to jail for 7 years for that offending. Which the judge had to do. There was no leeway. And so those sort of outcomes are a part and parcel of taking away judicial sentencing discretion.
And so how have judges felt about this? I can't imagine they'd be super happy that their discretion was taken away.
Judges hated it. The courts hated it. And so what the courts did was any residual discretion under the three strikes regime, there were certain points where the law said, look, if it's manifestly unjust to, you know, impose this penalty, you don't have to. The judges took what was meant to be a very narrow exception, what Parliament thought would hardly ever apply, and they blew it wide open. And they basically said, look, any outcome that is grossly disproportionate. Any outcome that forces us to send someone to jail for, you know, extended lengths of time when we wouldn't otherwise, that is in and of itself manifestly unjust, and therefore we won't do it. And so what it actually did was it kind of upset the usual way that our law is meant to apply. Usually we say Parliament passes the law and the courts apply the law as Parliament intends, because that's what elected MPs are there for. What the courts did with three strikes has said, elected MPs have created a regime that is so bad and so unfair, we're going to ignore what they really wanted us to do and instead apply our own ideas of what should happen under sentencing. And, you know, having that sort of balance between the courts and Parliament get upset, it's not a great thing overall, but it's what the courts felt they had to do in order to stop the law applying in a way that was just wrong.
That feels like quite a radical sort of departure from the typical ways we sort of think about New Zealand's different branches of legislative and judicial. Was judges sort of acting against the three strikes policy, was that radical, or has that thing happened before?
So there's a balance in our legal system between Parliament making law and saying, look, we the elected MPs think the law should be this way. And then courts, when they actually apply the law in individual cases, saying, okay, Parliament has written this and said this, but if we apply it in that way, it's going to have these, you know, impacts that just on their face look wrong, and also just are in real tension with the way our legal system has worked, you know, literally for centuries. And so there's this question of whether, you know, Parliament with a, you know, a temporary majority should be able to so upset the way our legal system is operating that, and therefore the courts just have to go along with it, or whether the courts should say, no, no, look, I'm sorry, Parliament, you might have thought you want to do this, but if we actually do it, we're going to, you know, really, really lead to a much worse legal system, and therefore we're going to do everything we can to avoid that outcome. And so what we've seen with the three strikes regime is that come to a real point, because sentencing has been something that has always been for judges in individual cases to balance a whole range of factors to try to reach the right outcome. And what Parliament did was say, no, sorry, judges, you won't be allowed to do that anymore. You have to impose this outcome, irrespective of how fair or just or proportionate it is. And so the judges said, well, sorry, that's just so impinging in our role. That's so changing what our job as judges is. We're just not going to go along with it.
And so now that the three strikes policy will be repealed, are there sufficient provisions, in your opinion, for violent criminals to be put away for a decent amount of time?
Yeah, I mean, so all of these offences that the three strikes provisions apply to already carry potentially very long jail sentences. And for instance, murder carries basically almost a mandatory life sentence. It's just usually people are allowed out on parole after a period of time, but that period of time is usually years and years and years, you know, 20, 30 odd years. And in certain cases, such as with the Christchurch terrorist, you can even put someone in jail literally for the rest of their life. I mean, he is in jail for life with no possibility of parole. So our sentencing laws do have the ability to send really bad offenders who've done really bad things to jail for a really long time. The problem with three strikes was it said anyone who's committed these offences, irrespective of any mitigating factors, irrespective of anything you know, about them as individuals, they must go to jail for that length of time. And that's very problematic. It ends up with, you know, a mentally ill man who kisses someone on the street going to jail for 7 years. And, you know, that can't possibly be right.
Do you have any idea, or has anyone got any idea, of what this change could mean for crime rates in New Zealand over the next few decades, say?
Oh, look, I think anyone who... people will say they've got an idea. So, for instance, the National NAC Party is already saying, look, this is going to make us less safe, there will be more crime, and so on and so on. The Labour Party, who's bringing it in, say, no, it's not going to really change much at all. So, you know, depending on which political stripe you are, you can claim to know. But I think anyone who's going to make hard and fast predictions in such a contested area, you know, I'd be very leery of them.
Why is justice such a political issue? Do you have any idea? Is it just because it's quite difficult, sort of, as you mentioned, to identify cause and effects? There's a lot of variables happening, so you've you get all these different ideas offered?
Well, I mean, it's a deeply emotive area. I mean, there's a reason why crime leads the news bulletin so often. It's because, you know, there's something about an individual doing something that hurts another individual that I think just raises something within us naturally that, A, we're really interested in it, B, it really sort of emotively engages us. And so the crime in and of itself is something that, you know, just grabs us as individuals. And then secondly, there's a real, you know, difference just in fundamental approaches between the idea that the most important thing to do is try to rehabilitate, try to, you know, make whole the criminal to stop them offending in the future and so on, versus the retributive kind of, if people do bad things, then bad things should be done to them. And I'm not sure that that's like an intellectual issue that can be resolved. I think it just goes to basic emotive beliefs about how we ought to interact with each other. And because those two things can't be reconciled, and because they're so deeply emotive, they're just very attractive political targets. Because, you know, if you are the opposition National Party or ACT Party at the moment, and you're wanting to attack the government, and you see the government, you know, getting rid of this policy that is meant to target the worst of the worst, by saying it's going to make the streets less safe, by saying it's, you know, actually going to coddle criminals, that's a very strong political attack line. And of course, you're the opposition, so you're going to use it.
And when we talk about rehabilitative versus retributive justice, I guess a fundamental part of that, or related to that, is whether New Zealand prisons actually do work and rehabilitate their prisoners. Do you think they do?
Well, they haven't had a very good track record of it. In part, it's because, of course, our prisons are horribly overrepresented with Māori and their colonial institutions, and the way in which they treat Māori has been, you know, basically the state, you know, taking a whole bunch of already people who've been treated very badly by the system and treating them badly again. And so, you know, how on earth is that possibly going to rehabilitate? So prisons in and of themselves probably can't do a very good job at, you know, fixing the kind of long-term systemic hurt that is driving so much offending in our country. The only thing that can be said about prisons is, you know, they are places where you can put some very dangerous people who maybe do need to be taken out of society, at least for a while. How you then make them, or how you then make the system work to try to fix that long-term systemic driven by colonization hurt, is something I think that probably lies beyond prisons themselves and needs a much, much wider societal change.
That was Professor Andrew Geddes from the University of Otago on the three strikes policy the government is repealing.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.